Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Ignoring all you know about pigs and where they live and what they step in, you look at their pickled paws and say, yummy.
Look and taste.
Craving only the most daring meal, you pass up the cow tongue, skate by the head cheese, dismiss the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
But a pig's foot soaked in pickle juice, now that's good eating.
Same real pickle.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater, because it takes guts to eat those feet.
Thank you, Mr.
Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Live after the races.
Every Saturday night, starting at 11 p.m. Eastern time, right up until the early morning hours of Sunday morning, we cover all the tracks from across the country. If your track's not involved, get it involved. Give us a call at Live After the Races, 941-920-3370. I'm your host, Bill Green, and you'll enjoy
Live After the Races.
We'll bring you all the winners, the losers, the tech shed problems, and anything else as we go around the country and visit the Saturday Night Racetracks. Don't miss out. Tune in early.
It's Live After the Races.
Every
Saturday night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
It is time for another edition of Real Racing USA, coming at you live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful southern Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm racing Jason Beckman.
I'm talking to you, Jack Smith.
I'm talking to you.
You're talking to me, eh?
I'm talking to you.
Forget about it.
Yeah, 2505 Manatee Avenue East, man. The Snook River Grill. What a place.
I love it.
You know who else loves it?
Who's that?
The Mamba Dude, man.
The Mamba Dude.
The Green Mamba Dude. He loves it. He comes down here just to eat and drink and carry on.
I'm telling you, man. It's the place to do that.
Last time I was here, Doug showed up. He had a table full of food.
There was six of them. He's talking to you.
So Jason, tonight you have some very big shoes to fill there, young man.
I'm only one man. I can only do one thing at a time, Jack. Just give me a minute.
All right,
here we go.
As long as we don't see you down a lonely road walking in your socks and your sweatpants.
No, my name is not Michael Walker, but I ain't that tall. That's, you know, the boy said he wasn't drinking, but what was he doing out at 1:30 in the morning?
Well, imagine that poor girl that came upon the wreck and said, and called 911 and said, no, I don't see anybody. Hangs up her phone and the back window kicks out, and here comes Michael Waltrip slicking out of there.
Helmet, hair, and all.
Yep. Must look like a clown coming out of there or something. I said, I'm okay. I'm going home.
Did you happen to see the message board on Karnak at all? Did you read any of that?
I tread those waters occasionally.
I don't know who did it, but somebody posted it and said, sorry, kiddies. I clicked on it. The real reason Michael Waltrip crashed, it was a squished bunny rabbit with Easter eggs in a basket.
I'm reading
that about 1:30 in the morning, yeah.
What did
you know what? You know what?
Did he wreck his car or something?
Yeah, he flipped his truck in a ditch and then walked away from the wreck.
his Toyota Land Cruiser in the middle of the night. Said he was
2:30 in the morning.
Said he fell asleep at the wheel. How many times have we seen Michael Waltrip
fall asleep?
Well,
he usually does that in qualifying.
He was basically using the Ted Kennedy defense then.
Pretty much. Yeah. Except he was by himself. He was alone. So, but somebody came upon. I mean, it was a bad wreck too. You seen pictures of that car?
Left of that
it's
wreck.
Destroyed. He hit a pole or something and ended up upside down in a ditch. Climbed out the back window. Michael Waltrip is a tall boy.
Right.
He's a big old boy.
Right.
And there was a girl came upon the wreck, called 911, and then he climbed out, walked home. They went to his house, couldn't find him till the next day.
He said he was in his pool house. I didn't hear the cops at the door. I didn't see the flag.
Oh, they've had more trouble this year. It all they've had trouble from day one, huh?
That sucks because I like Mikey too.
Well, yeah, you know.
But I can't help but pick on the poor.
Well, how's Ruderman doing in all this, David?
He's selling pizzas.
Selling pizzas.
Is he?
Selling pizzas, holding the phone out the window. Listen to this.
Sounds windy.
Yeah. The 00 deal. Yeah.
Did you hear what might be happening because of all this? Of course, Toyota's saying they're stand behind Michael Waltrip on it, but now there's talk that Bill Elliott, they're trying to get him over to drive a car full-time, but, you know, just because he's got those six provisional starting positions.
The real skinny is that Dale Jarrett's not a happy camper.
I wouldn't either.
Dale Jarrett is not a happy camper. He's about ready to walk on that deal from what I'm hearing. That could be the why you got in the rumblings of Bill Elliott, but Bill Elliott's been out of it too long.
Yeah. Now, also, I guess each time Michael Waltrip misses a race, he's got to pay Toyota $300,000.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks ass.
I'd be driving around at 1:30 of the night trying to find some speed, too.
And, you know, but our friend John Birdie said he didn't. I like having him here.
Hey, you got to find some. Hey.
He's talking to us.
I know where somebody was taking that. And I don't know, but there could be more. We have to look into that.
Well, luckily, there's more to motorsports than NASCAR, and therefore we're going to talk about
Done.
Oh, you're not done?
You're
not done with this nonsense?
No. There was a race this weekend. There was a race this weekend, and you know, you've heard the rumblings in DEI and with Junior and all this.
45 days.
And he's not... he's also not got along. Not very many people get along with Kyle Busch either. I like Kyle. Kyle's a good aggressive race car driver. But as our friend Terry said, Juan Pablo Toyota got in a little altercation with Tony Stewart, which in turn caused Dale Jr. to let off the gas, which Kyle Busch didn't see happen. And
a lot of people ran out of talent.
Yeah, Kyle rammed up. Kyle destroyed a couple race cars, let's just say.
Watch how you choose those words.
And Junior tried to come out. They tried to fix his car, Junior's car. Junior said, nah, forget it. You know, we're done. And then they fixed Kyle Busch's car, which, you know, it's all about points. It doesn't matter if you're 80 laps down. You put the car back out there and try and gain a couple spots. Well, they got Kyle's car fixed. They couldn't find Kyle. Couldn't find Kyle anywhere.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. got in his car.
Finished the race. Garrett got two or three more spots and a few more points for Kyle Busch and the team.
WWE all the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of funny. They asked Junior why he did it. He says, well, it's kind of like back in the day, you know. Drivers used to go get in other guys' cars, you know. He says, I was just doing something like back in the day. And I think he was really trying to tick everybody off over at DEI. I think that's what he was doing.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt about it, I'm sure.
I'd like to be the fly on the wall in the Garage Mahal.
So, Jack, you're going to Rockingham this weekend, huh?
I am going to Rockingham, Craig Clark. I am coming. I will be there.
Yeah, but you're not going to the roundy-round track.
Yeah, last time, what was it, three, four years ago, he got me credentials and everything. I was supposed to go do this big coverage at the IHRA race in Rockingham. I got up to my aunt's house who lives in Charlotte. I started looking on a computer, and I didn't realize that the Hooters Pro Cup race was up at Concord that week. So I went to Concord. So Craig's never sort of lived that one down. So he sent me an email the other day. It says, no excuses.
Those are very loud race cars.
Yeah, should be fun.
Should be a lot of fun.
Wide open.
Get a lot of pictures from you standing on the starting line taking pictures. They let you stand there by the fence. Yeah.
All that, yeah.
Yeah, I figure two funny car rounds and you'll be
done.
You'll be done.
Yeah. Huh? Jet truck.
Yeah.
Jet truck. I like that when it starts vibrating your lungs from the inside out.
Oh, yeah. Well, everything turns into a blur. There's no sound.
Is that the one with the, is that the jet truck with the three engines, Doug? Okay.
Oh, is that right? Wow. Okay, well, we're going to have fun.
All right. Sprint cars at Charlotte County this past weekend, huh?
Dan, he spent the night running from the dead man.
Dead man was in the house. Dead man had my number. But after
did he get pile drive?
I almost got chokeslammed. He had me up against the glass again. Yeah, last time he was there, he had me turned around up against the glass. My feet were off the ground. It's not a very, I don't know what it is with them wrestlers, man. They go after the people with the microphones.
I don't want them some of bitches that track, no, they don't need microphone. To come over to DeSoto.
Well, I got to tell you though, you know, there's been 1 week since Bobby Deal took over that track that they had a bad crowd, and that was the night it was 40 degrees or something, or even lower than that. Other than that one night, he's been packing them in. He had at least 26, 27, 2,800 people there, maybe 3,000. It was unbelievable.
That's
man.
Not including the people in the pits.
Yeah, well, it was amazing. Really,
you had some fans down there this weekend, didn't you, John?
Yeah, we seem to pick them as we, you know, they just sort of come out of the woodwork.
What?
Well, you know.
I know your buddy.
A few weeks ago, this refined late model driver from Charlotte County Motorsports Park and occasionally at DeSoto Speedway made an ass out of himself at the track. And so he took the opportunity on Saturday night to come over and tell me about his try to have a legal conversation with me and threaten me with lawsuits and all that. And
maybe we could hook him up with one of our other local radio shows around here.
Sure.
You know, if you don't want people, here's the thing. If you don't want people talking bad about you, don't make an ass out of yourself at the racetrack. Embarrass the ownership. Embarrass the sponsors. Embarrass the people who are trying to make something happen here. Go sit in the grandstands, drink your bill, and yell at the top of your lungs how you're going to sue people. But stay off the racetrack and don't be doing stupid stuff, and people leave you alone.
You could hurt some damn buddy.
That's right.
Why would you want to hurt somebody? Why? Over a race? It's just a race. I mean, you know, you go out there, you be competitive, you rub fenders for a little while, you get a little upset, you get a black flag, go to the pits, lick your wounds, come back the next week and go race again.
We've all done it.
The biggest damn insult to a race car driver that has an attitude with everybody, and you go out, he spins somebody out, you get in trouble, take your black flag, come back the next week, pass that guy on the outside, win the race, he's going to be even more mad then. So, you know, pass him, win the race, just race.
Well, not to mention the fact that, you know, I'll reiterate again, in the driver's meeting, the new owner, Bobby Deal, spoke at length to all the drivers about how important it was that they keep their heads on right and put a good show on and don't make an ass out of themselves, because they had some major people from Walmart there and some other people who are looking to invest some pretty large amounts of money and resources into Charlotte County Motorsports Park. And then for, you know, somebody to go out and completely blow that, I was just absurd.
Here, you know, I got to say this, grown men, fully grown men, 30, 40, 50s, maybe even a few of them in their 60s, can't control their attitude. There's a 10-year-old kid, I'm going to mention his name, Daniel Miller. That little kid has more respect for anybody. I tell you what, the boy likes to race. He knows everything there is to know about his sponsors. And I talked to him. He is so well-behaved and so well-mannered. I mean, he has got more talent in his little finger than any three or four drivers at any of these tracks have. I mean, he knows how to conduct himself.
Now, here's another, you know, at Auburndale Speedway this past Saturday night.
See, this just proves.
Oh,
it,
my.
It happens everywhere.
Well, they, you know, they have sheriffs there on the grounds, which only makes sense when you're going to get a few thousand people together with race cars and fuel and high-octane spirits and alcohol. And, you know, they have a couple of cops there. Well, so they ended up tasering some race car drivers.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I tell you what.
Straight from Big Dog.
I would volunteer for that just to prove to everybody that.
Big Dog, give us a call there, 941-748-3490.
There it is.
I got to hear about this.
Somebody got tasered.
Yeah, my buddy JD just came in. He was down there, saw them sprints. Was that pretty cool? What? Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. It was pretty cool.
I was so happy to see those guys come in. I haven't seen the Tabera guys in like 8 years.
What'd you call them?
Tabera TBA.
No.
He was making jokes about that last week.
They're the TBARA. They don't like Tabera.
I said it and they didn't say anything.
They won't say anything to you, but they did behind your back.
They won't invite you to the party.
Yeah, they won't invite you to the party.
Okay.
Why don't you see if you can get a hold of Steve Myers? Steve Myers was up at Five Flags Saturday night. They had 39 late models there for the Blizzards, which is one of those races that is a qualifying deal for the Snowball Derby later in the year. Let's see if we can get a hold of that guy.
All right, give him a call.
So, Jack, who all do we have on tonight?
Scott Reeves, who's a fast car pro truck driver. We're going to be talking to him. He's actually on duty at the fire station over in Royal Palm Beach, Florida. He's the son of Speedy Reeves, who's back in the day, like you were saying.
Uh-huh.
He raced everything there was. Scott used to race late models and so forth. He's racing the trucks now. He had a pretty bad wreck up at Lakeland. I think it was late last year or beginning of this year.
Yeah, he broke the bone.
Yeah, he was. But he's actually a fireman. We're going to be talking to him at the firehouse, and he's a pretty interesting guy. We're going to talk to Kevin Ruick, who is rumored to be the guy who actually started school bus racing.
Really?
Yeah. He's Kevin Ruick.
We had fun with Kevin back in the day.
About 7 or 8 years ago, we used to go round and round with Kevin on the message boards. But he's from Ohio, and he's going to be with us. He's going to be involved in bringing the Super Modifieds to Florida next year.
I hope we get a race. I hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope.
Well, we'll ask him about that.
Ask and you shall receive. I'm talking to you, Jack.
Oh, do we have Steve on the line?
I got Steve on the line for you, buddy.
Steve, you on the line there?
Yeah, man. How y'all doing?
All right, brother. I don't know why the phone's ringing, but.
Hey, quick question. Are you talking about the actual real Super Modifieds?
The actual real Super Modifieds.
Oh, wow. Is that going to be during Speed Week?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen in, because we got Kevin Ruick. He's the promoter of it, and he's going to try and run it at least 4 different racetracks down here.
Oh, great. Yeah, I haven't seen those things in years.
Those things are monsters.
I wonder what kind of times they'll turn around there. About 1550, you think, huh?
Probably, yeah.
How big's that track?
What, DeSoto?
DeSoto.
Three-eighths. 13-degree banking. It's a fun little racetrack. Big race up there this weekend, huh, Steve?
Yeah, Friday night we kicked off our Blizzard Series, and as you said, we had 39 late models show up, and Hunter Robbins, he's 15 years old. He won. He's the one that won the Snowflake 100 last year at the age of 14, so he's going to be somebody to look out for.
14 years old winning that big race.
Right. He's something else. He just moved into the super late models. He was driving the pro late models, and this is his first year in these, actually. So, actually, I don't know if y'all heard, Augie Grill took the checkered flag, but he was DQ'd for a valve angle, and Hunter Robbins was awarded the victory.
Augie.
Well, now, is that's Frankie Grill's kid.
Is he the one that was on the Driver's X thing?
Was Augie on the Driver's X?
No.
That was back in the day.
No, Frank's back in the day.
He was.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as you know Jeff Jacquet down your way.
So, 39 late models up there. How many races are in this in the Blizzard Series?
There are 5 races, and the way it works, the top 10 at the end of the season are eligible for 2 provisionals in the Snowball. And the Snowball is so hard to make. I mean, 0.3 seconds separated the field this past year. So, to get a provisional is a really big deal. This past year, I believe, is the 4th-place driver and the 6th-place driver.
Right. We had Jeff Schofield went up for that race, and I don't believe he made that, did he?
Who?
Jeff Schofield?
No, he didn't make it.
Right. And he's won everything in the state of Florida except that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was going to run with us this year. Unfortunately, you can't schedule around everything, and pretty much all of our races are on top of a Sunbelt race.
Yeah.
But we did have Justin Draughty here. Now, he finished 11th, and Thane Skinner was scheduled to run with us, but he, my understanding is he blew a motor the week before, I believe.
No, Mater finished second in that race, didn't he?
Yes, he ended up, yeah, he finished second, and let's see here, what do we got? Had him right in front of me, I lost him. Here they go. Ryan Crane from Panama City, Florida. Now, he finished third. We had drivers from 8 states and Canada here. Sean McWhorter from Canada, he finished fifth in the Derby. He ended up finishing 16th in this one. But it was a pretty clean race. We had a lot of cautions there at the very beginning, and then it kind of leveled out. Matter of fact, the top two guys never pitted for tires, which is very unusual at Five Flags.
Wow, 100-lap race. Yeah, that's a pretty abrasive surface up there, isn't it?
Very abrasive, yes it is. But that's what makes it Five Flags. It's kind of like the Darlington of short track, you know?
That's what keeps bringing them back year after year.
But, yeah, we had a great night. We had, overall, we had 95 cars in the pits for four divisions. Had a great crowd. Bill was, at the sprint car race with us, and he knows what that crowd looked like. This was probably, I'd say, 30% bigger than that one. It was a really, really good crowd. The pits were absolutely packed. I don't think you could have fit another passenger car in there.
That's cool. That's awesome, man.
So we're looking for big things. Actually, we had some big news this week. Cale Gayle, I don't know if y'all are familiar with him. He is one of Kevin Harvick's new drivers. He is from Mobile, Alabama, and he's actually coming home this weekend. He's going to run here at Five Flags Friday night and then run over at Mobile Speedway Saturday night. Now, the Mobile race was rained out last week, and they're going to run it this Saturday. Now, we're running our Pro Late models Friday, but we're expecting probably around 20 to 25 Pro Late models for our regular show. That's just a 40-lap race, so that's a pretty good field for a 40-lapper.
Steve, this is Jason again. I'm not really quite familiar where the Five Flags track is where you guys are running. Where is that exactly at?
Pensacola, Florida.
Okay, good deal. Haven't got a chance to go up that far yet. I'm going to have to make a point of getting up that way.
I tell you what y'all all need to do is put it on your schedule and make a trip to the Snowball Derby. You won't regret it, but get your motel rooms early.
When do we have to book them?
Do you guys race on Sundays?
I would book them at least by September.
September?
Yeah.
All right.
Unless you want to stay out on the beach for a couple hundred tonight, you know.
not in December, not in this lifetime.
They'll still charge you a couple hundred, though. You know how that goes.
Would they allow a 1968 snub-nosed van out there?
Yeah. Doesn't have flowers on it, does it?
No.
When's our phone next, does, though.
When's the
Jack,
when is the next flowers. Big blizzard race up there?
It'll be May the 25th, and all of our races, we work hand-in-hand with Mobile Speedway, and we're only 60 miles apart. All of our races are double-headers, so that brings in a lot of out-of-towners because they can come over here and run Friday and then drive 60 miles and run Mobile Saturday. And we also offer a $1,000 bonus to the highest average finisher. So you don't have to win both to get the bonus.
You know, go ahead. You know, around here in the Central Florida area used to be the hotbed for late model racing. But now, right there in lower Alabama, right there in the corner by Georgia and Pensacola, I'm telling you what, the late models are coming out the woodwork up there.
Well, one thing that brings into these blizzard races is, I mean, the Snowball Derby, it's known nationwide as the biggest race in the country. And a lot of these guys, I think on these blizzard races, you could probably pay $200, and they're really just coming to get homed in for the Snowball. That's what most of them say anyway, you know. Last year we averaged 30 cars a race, and starting off with 39 is, I mean, that's a really good sign. And plus, you know, Tim Bryant bought the track, or the entire Bryant family bought the track, and they've been in racing forever. So they've been drivers, they sell parts, and they're in it for the right reasons. And the track is really, really taken off with them in charge. Everybody's real excited.
Yeah, we had Tim spent some time with us a couple of weeks ago, right after they closed the deal and taken over the track, and that's a really good thing for the area up there.
Yeah, real good people. There's not a person that you'll find that'll say anything bad about them. Unless somebody just, maybe the guy that just got disqualified, but then in about a week he likes them again.
Yeah, he'll get over it.
Steve, do you guys, have you guys had the Georgia Asphalt Series come down and race at your track yet?
Actually, we did for the first time. We had them early in March, and we had a good race. Russell Fleeman won that one from up in Georgia. He actually won the first two races. And that was our season opener. And then we had the sprint cars back about, I guess it's been 3 or 4 weeks ago now. And we didn't have a real good turnout of sprint cars for the USCS. We had 14. However, it was a good race at the end, though. Trey Robb. He's, I think he's 14 years old as well. He won. So
that's that kid from Oklahoma.
Kids here at Five Flag.
That's that young kid from Oklahoma.
Yeah, and he smoked Kenny Adams.
Yeah, Kenny Adams said he wore him out.
Yeah, he smoked him, and he actually passed Gray.
Terry Gray.
Yeah, he passed him on the last lap. It was a good race. But, you know, we had him here 2 years ago and had a lot more cars, so wasn't sure what was going on with that, but it was a good race.
Steve, we really appreciate you keeping us informed on what's going up there in the Panhandle.
Okay, well, hey, I enjoy your show. I'll sit here and listen. Y'all crack me up listening to you, so enjoy it. And y'all try to make reservations for the Snowball, and maybe you can even get down for one of the Blizzard races. Just go to the website at snowballderby.com, and the whole schedule's on there.
All right, brother.
Okay, y'all take care.
All right, man.
Thanks.
You know, there's a lot of people out there in racing, sprint car nuts and dirt late model nuts and all that. But Steve knows his late models.
Ain't no doubt about it.
He knows his late models. Jack, you want
to... Well, listen, Rick, we're going to go to break, but also tonight we have Tommy Trouble, the Suicide Spiral guy.
Right.
Okay, and that person's going to have to wait till we come back.
I'll tell you what, we watched his videos earlier.
Crazy.
He's insane.
It's crazy.
He's insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And another crazy guy, Doug Rose, here with us.
Doug's here, yeah.
We're going to talk to a few other people as well, but let's take a break and then come back.
All right, brother.
Now, do you do that?
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and U.S. 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
We are back at the Snook River Grill. It's 2505 Manatee Avenue East in southern Tampa Bay.
Real Jack, Racing USA.
Real Racing USA. You were talking earlier about electricity and Auburndale Speedway. He's on. Oh, you shut him off.
Did I?
We got a caller.
Big Dog, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What are you doing, man?
There's just been a buzz going around here in Auburndale lately.
Well, yo, something in the water up there or what?
I think it's the phosphate, y'all. Got to be the phosphate in the water. Like two out of 3 weeks I went to the fights and the race broke out.
What happened?
I don't know. I knew it was going to be bad when they pulled in and they was trading little words and almost had a fist fight then.
Said, get on the ground!
Good tonight. Before it was all over with, they were flopping like fish out of water.
Flopping somebody, like fish out of water.
Somebody got tasered, huh?
It was flopping around. This one guy got it 3 times. I think he liked it.
You know?
How many times can you get tasered and go, okay, that's enough? Y'all don't, none of these people want anything to do with these Arbordale people. Trust me. Trust me when I tell you.
Your buddy was down at Charlotte.
Who's that?
Your friend.
Ike.
Rick. He just opened up his new board.
Did he? Oh, yeah, yeah, I seen that.
Again, we should plug him sometime.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to.
I'm talking about off the air, we should plug him.
Oh, yeah, 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 no doubt. We're not going to plug him on there.
Hey, Big Dog, this is Jason.
Hey.
Hey, man, I need some pictures of that guy getting tasered.
Right?
Yeah. Man, if you know anybody that's got him, I want him.
Because I'm telling you, this guy come up like he was laying on his back. About the second time he hit him, he at least come up 4 foot.
Now, was this a driver?
Yeah, he was. Let's see. One was a driver. The other one was a driver, and one of them was one of the driver's daddy.
Oh, I have got.
What did they do to like get this treatment?
Well,
for Polk County's finest.
Yes, the two of them tangled up, and they just went untangled. And another one jumped in. Then another one jumped in. I've seen it was a little overzealous because I think they had some pepper spray would have did just as good without having to shock them.
The truth of the matter is six of them were all tangled up, and they daisy-chained them all and shocked them all at one time.
One of our other driver's fathers and took him in, so I think we got a road cop.
Well, as big as you are, they should have just called you in.
Oh, no, they got the bad security out there now, if you get my drift.
The bad security, right?
SWAT team, snipers on the tower.
Funny. So
it's been really interesting, but I can't wait to see what this new guy's going to do. He's committed. He's committed his money. He's already been doing the track. He's already been working on everything. He's done did the bathrooms. He's getting ready to do the stands, put new wood in. He's trying to find somebody that can get some cheap aluminum stands from, somebody that's going down or whatever. So he seems committed. They had an employee meeting last night, so I don't know what was going on. Of course, I'm not employed no more, so I wasn't allowed to go there. Plus, I'd eat them out of house at home anyway.
All right, dog. Well, keep us informed on what's going on up there.
All right, brother. Y'all be safe.
All right. Thanks a lot, dog.
I can't wait. The 12th of May, I'm going to be there drinking beer, and I never drink beer at racetracks. But I'm going to at Auburndale.
Beer at Auburndale.
They've been. You imagine this? They've been running a racetrack for, what, the better part of 4 years without selling beer.
No beer at the racetrack. Yeah.
You didn't know that?
Yeah.
That's un-American.
Crazy. All right. So where are we at here?
Where are we at? You tell me.
Let's talk to Tommy Trouble.
Talk to him.
Jack.
There's this guy sitting next to me.
He just handed me his videotape. And, of course, his website is www.troublestunts.com. That's TRUBBLESTUNTS.com. But the name of the tape says it all, Beyond the Impact. And I'm telling you, we watched that video on his laptop. And
fire that thing up there.
Yeah.
It's lunacy.
Turn it around. Yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason wanted to see this again.
This is
now,
cool.
The 21st of this month, which is next Saturday, this coming Saturday, USA International Speedway, known for Hooters Pro Cup, ARCA racing, all the big stuff.
All the uppity-uppity.
All the uppity-uppity. White collar racing.
When I saw that there was going to be a Crash-O-Rama.
Crash-O-Rama at USA International Speedway Saturday night, and Tommy Trouble is certainly going to be one of the stars. Tommy, yep. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Tommy, what kind of permits do you have to get for all that fire?
We don't talk about that. No, we have to get fire permits and everything. Everything's on the up and up.
That is some amazing stunt work, man.
Thanks.
Do you just leave your brain at home when you do this?
What brain? Don't you have to have one?
That's
to
what I was fixing
first?
To ask you. Why?
Yeah, so how did you get into doing all this?
Yeah, why?
And what's
I was 5 years old. I saw a famous motorcycle jumper on TV, and he crashed. And
Knievel?
I said, you know what? That's what I'm going to do when I'm older.
Was it the one where he jumped and like fell off the bike, landed on his head, slid on the wall? It was like the Astrodome like that.
You
I was sitting there watching the same thing.
Nah.
I didn't
and
go
that
out
inspired.
And do that.
Yeah, but you were smarter than I was, huh?
You got a radio show. I'm not just me, a guest.
This is nuts. I mean, yeah, I got to say his website again. www.trubblestunts.com.
And we'll put a link close to it. We'll put a link to it on Short Track America. You can go check it out. Right, but so you, how long have you been doing this kind of stuff?
Well, I got into the stunt business in '88. Got my SAG card, and then owned my own company for the last 10 years. Trouble Stunts.
Your what card?
SAG card. Screen Actors Guild.
Oh, okay.
You need a Screen Actors Guild card to work in movies and television.
Yeah.
Oh, so have you been in any?
Yeah, I've done a few little things.
Anything we would know?
One that you'd recognize me in Passenger 57, I get kicked out of the Ferris wheel by Wesley Snipes.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And then I've done some other things. It's nondescript. A lot of it's nondescript stunts. You're just driving along while other stunt guys are pulling in and out of you. I got to do a police car on Dukes of Hazzard into the river.
Oh, they're going through the woods. So you've been doing this a while.
A little bit, yeah.
Was that when they were still filming the Dukes of Hazzard up in Georgia?
No, this was just the first movie that they just did out in
Oh, the one with Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
That was the first one.
Now, Saturday night, you're going to perform, what's it called, this spiral?
This is the Suicide Spiral.
Suicide Spiral.
Yeah.
Aptly named from the video.
Yeah,
pretty much. Anything with the word suicide in it.
That's true. Not many
Some
guys have
people want
this.
To watch that.
There's only a handful of guys on the planet that have actually put a pipe ramp on a ramp. And have actually called it a suicide.
You give a new meaning to the word grind in the skating community.
So where how do you come no. up? How do you
Mark
come
Hager?
Up with these?
Yeah, Mark's a good friend of mine. Mark.
Yeah, I've got a video of Mark Hager.
Yep.
How do you come up with these stunts? Do you choreograph them?
I mean, actually, I've watched other stunt guys in the past that have done them, that have performed them. I've just taken them to another level.
Wow,
that's another damn level right there. Yeah.
So when you do this spiral thing, like. Okay, how fast do you get going when you go up that ramp?
On this one, I'm going to do 60 to 65. My world record, I was doing over 70, and I went 223 feet, went 3.5 spins, and landed right on my roof. Knocked me out cold, ruined my roll cage, just totaled the car. I still look at that car in that video and wonder how I walked away from that one. That was a brutal
What's your worst crash. Injury?
I've compressed my spine between 5 and 6, had an eyeball problem, crushed my ribs one time, but that's basically it.
Worst injury. That's
base area.
Yeah.
I had an eyeball problem.
You worry about the cars,
I
not tell, me,
yeah,
don't
I
you?
Worry about the cars, man. I could make a nice street stock out of it.
Yeah,
there's
a lot
summer.
Of guys that want to slap me around for breaking these things.
So like this spiral deal, the suicide spiral, you're going to be doing, like you get going 60, 65 miles an hour up this ramp, and you spin the car 2 or 3 times.
Correct.
How do you practice that?
You don't. Each job is practice. You know, it's on the job training every time I go out there, every time I line up. Let me tell you, the first one was brutal. I mean,
in front of a live audience?
In front of a live audience. It was a big crowd, and my first big jump was 130-footer. And I had to at least go 100 feet to get to the car. Now I open up my cars anywhere from 150 feet to 200 feet just to get to the cars. People don't realize that. They think I'm going to actually jump over the cars. Well, there's a 150-foot to 200-foot air gap that has explosions in it. I have to at least make it to the cars. I don't want to come up short, and I actually don't want to go long either. I have a 60-foot landing pad, and that's my catch ramp is the cars.
That's
my cushion.
Yeah, I was just
Sick.
Listening to that. How much preparation goes into one of these? I mean, you know, you
a 12-pack.
A 12-pack. it's gonna take more than a 12-pack to
I'm
get
a
me
cheap
in that
date.
Thing.
What do you do to prepare the cars?
Actually, we get cars from different places. A lot of times, these cars come right out of the junkyard. Believe it or not, they're on their last leg. I've had cars that the transmission went out on me, and I've actually been pushed to the ramp. I've had cars with no brakes. But what I do is...
You don't need them.
You don't need the brakes. you go 70 to zero.
It's going to stop anyway.
Yeah, that's it. What I do is I strip the car out, take the headliner out, the rug, the seats, everything, and I put my own roll cage in there. I have a portable roll cage that I had specially built. And I put that in, bolt it in, paint the car up red, put logos on it, and put a police light on it, and I'm ready to go. And what we're doing now at the tracks is, as I have a booth set up, and signing autographs and giving out pictures and selling shirts, I actually have the fans and the kids and everybody sign the car. We give them Sharpies, and they just love that. They think it's
great.
Cool. It is. They think it's neat. But I've had a couple parents complain that the kids have gone home and wrote on their car. But that's not my fault.
And you do this all over the country?
Yeah, actually all over the U.S., and I've actually even been to Aruba. Been to Aruba with Doug Rose here, actually.
Oh, wow.
Talk about scary, yeah. The jump wasn't the scary thing over there.
Rumor has it they asked you not to come back.
Amazing.
One of the other, you know, you were talking about 60 feet, you were talking about distances and everything. Mm-hmm. How much of calculating goes into this? You know, you got to have so much speed to carry. I mean, I know that it takes more than a 12-pack.
Yeah. You know, it really, it mostly comes down to speed and angles. That's mostly what it comes down to. And there's a couple other little factors, but that's your basic formula. And I know basically where I'm going to hit. I know at 55 miles an hour and this certain jump, I'm going to go 150 feet. You know, I just know what those are from past experiences and trials and tribulations of jumpers before me and mistakes and successes that I've had in the past.
So this is pretty cool. I mean, you're going to be doing this event at USA International Speedway, and they got all kinds of thrills show up there.
Yeah, they have demolition derbies. They have a motorcycle demolition derby. Yeah,
have you seen one of those?
I have.
People
have to come out. They just have to come out and watch everything. It's going to be...
It's a concept that's a little hard to get your head around.
It really is. It's hard to explain it, too. It's just one of those things you just have to see it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's great when they start picking up the cones and hitting each other with them.
Now, don't give it all away.
It's the best. The first time I saw one of those, I mean, it's like everybody showed up at the racetrack going, motorcycle demolition derby. We got to go just to see this.
Somebody's going to die.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Somebody's going to die. We got to go pay to see
out
this.
Of the audience for that.
Yeah.
So you were up there today. You were doing some interviews on Tampa television station.
Fox 13. We were doing 13, some interviews today. Yep.
Cool. So they should expect a big crowd.
Let's hope so. I mean, and people should come on out and see this. Every jump's my last jump. I don't know if I'm physically or mentally going to be able to do it. You just never know. What's going on over there? Did I scare somebody?
That was Rick's last jump.
Rick's last jump.
He breaks out into laughter. That's nice. That's
every show's our last show.
Those are my fans. Those are my fans. That's my demographics right there. I'm going to get killed. Hey,
where do I get a ticket?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to bring my family.
He used to do demolition derbies, so he's a little... Till he got whacked once a little too hard.
They told me what a third-degree concussion was. I said, what is it? They go, your brain almost turned all the way around. I said, blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't talk for a couple days.
So it's back to normal.
That's what's wrong.
Now I know why we get along so well.
Right.
That's funny. So I tell you what, you're going to hang out for a while.
Yeah,
right?
I'll be here.
Cool. We're going to come back to you. We're going to take a quick break, come back and talk to Kevin Ruick, and we're going to come back with Tommy Trouble and... Doug Rose. What do you think?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, he was talking to you.
Presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All You Can Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All You Can Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, go nuts, buddy.
Pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All You Can Eat Buffet.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Live after the races.
Every Saturday night, starting at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, right up until the early morning hours of Sunday morning, we cover all the tracks from across the country. If your track's not involved, get it involved. Give us a call at Live After the Races, 941-920-3370. I'm your host, Bill Green, and you'll enjoy
Live After the Races.
We'll bring you all the winners, the losers, the tech shed problems, and anything else as we go around the country and visit the Saturday night racetracks. Don't miss out. Tune in early.
It's Live After the Races
every
Saturday night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
All right, it's Real Racing USA.
Live from the Smith River Grill. I don't know the address, but you know it.
2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful Bradenton, Florida.
The cool thing was this is the first time I've driven in the daylight to find this place.
Was it harder to drive in the daylight?
No, not really. But it was pretty cool. I came across the bridge. I see the water this time and everything. It's
pretty
really nice.
Cool in Ohio, too, isn't it, Kevin Ruick?
Wait a minute.
Oh, you didn't push your mic.
No. There he is. It's
our monitor didn't have anything going.
I am not the monitor.
This is the guy who's been kicked off the Florida message board as long ago as 9 years ago, at least.
I think.
You forgot about that, don't you?
I ain't forgot.
I'm getting even.
Kevin, I have to say, because Rick was like, "Who are you talking to?" when I called you up, and I says, "Kevin Ruick." And he goes, "Oh, I'm the one that Windexed him off the message board."
I think, Kevin, I think it was you that invented Windex.
Nah.
Yeah.
You know that up here they have a board called Super Dave, Super Modified Board.
Yep.
About 2 weeks, he banned me for life. So people are still throwing me off their boards.
Yeah, well, we just didn't know what we were missing out on.
No, I called him a board Nazi, and then he had a Napoleon syndrome. That might have had something to do with it.
There you go, man.
What, all you did was call him a board Nazi?
Yeah. He used to, the deal is, you're not allowed to say anything against a racetrack or a promoter, because he could lose his pre-pass. So, I followed those rules exactly. I hammered everyone I could think of.
Well, Kevin, that's part of the game.
And he had enough. And he just said, "That's it." And I'm now permanently banned.
It was because of you. I couldn't go to New Smyrna for a year.
Yeah, well, wait. Excuse me. Who coined the phrase, the meanest man in Florida?
No, it's the most dangerous man in Florida stock car race.
Dangerous man in Florida. That doesn't happen to ring a bell now, does it?
That?
And there was a picture to go along with it.
The older we get, the more mellow we get, and the less things have any importance whatsoever.
Exactly.
We're speaking, of course, about your good friend, Robert. We're speaking, of course, about your good friend, Robert Hart.
Robert and me have been the dearest of friends. I can't tell you how many years. And I mean, just you all started to beat him up, and Robert never answers. You know, he just lets it go. I, on the other hand, you know, I write. I 7 days a week, I'm writing something for somebody. So I just said, well, let's practice being mean and nasty. I think I did a pretty good job on y'all. What do you think?
I'll have to agree.
That was
no
a lot
doubt.
Of fun, actually.
Do you have any of that stuff archived? Do you have any of it archived? I'd like to read some of it.
People used to get so mad at some of the stuff that I would write, and then someone would say, doesn't it bother you? I said, are you kidding? Do they ever talk about you? At least they know I'm there. Of course, up here, they call me Mr. Know-It-All.
So
it happens to be correct.
So you basically are a consultant these days? Is that what you're doing?
Well, I used to have a bunch of racetracks up here in Ohio, and I had drag strips and round tracks and everything, and there was a change in business. I think it happened when Blockbuster started coming out, and I could see things dropping off, and several tracks that we had were leased, and the man who owned the tracks wanted to sell them, and I said, you know, you sell them, I'll sell my lease out to whoever it is, and well, I'll make a couple of bucks and we'll get rid of the racetracks. I don't mind that at all, because our motorcycle demolition derby, which was a traveling show, was going great. I made a lot more money than the racetracks did. So we got rid of, I think, five tracks within a year, and I walked away and thought, well, time to retire. But we had the motorcycle demolition derby, and I had started that at my racetrack up at Cloverleaf Speedway in Cleveland, Ohio, and I took it down to Roberts one day, and I said, hey, let's do, you know, you got bike week down here. Let's try this. And he goes, you've got to be joking. I said, let's just see. Yeah, we get a couple of thousand people. I will honestly tell you how many people we got. There were so many bikers in the infield. Now, this is not a joke. There were so many bikers in the infield. Robert was down in the infield, and I was up in the tower, and I said, Robert, called down to him, I said, what's wrong with your generator? Because he uses a generator. I said, your lights are getting dimmer. He said, I don't know. So they had Van go back, look, Van said, up, they're putting out full power. I said, Robert, there's something wrong with your lights. At the end of the night, when the bikers left, the lights came up. We found out that we had so many black jackets there, they literally sucked the light out of the air. That's a pretty good crowd, and that's not a story. That's an absolute fact.
Oh, I wish I had Twilight Zone music.
I told you guys.
That really true. But we
I love this.
Access place for 17 years in a row, and then I got sick, and I was I spent 3 years recuperating. And this year went back to work, and during that 3 years, I had learned, since I'm not going on the road anymore, I better be doing something else with my time, and I had been doing some consulting. Well, I could do that right here. So for 2 of the 3 years, the consulting business got so big, I didn't care if I ever did another motorcycle show in my life. And then Robert calls and says, let's do one more. We did it. It went great, and I guess now we're going to do a whole bunch of them.
Well,
but see, I make my living off people calling me up saying, boy, did I screw up. I got in the racing business. What do I do? And I say, you're going to go broke, and that will be $200. It's although I'm working with a couple of very nice racetracks right now that, you know, just want to go over some things, you know, as they do them. They come up with the ideas. So, oh, well,
Well, you know, what I'm doing here is...
I'm not talking about the time I spent in the penitentiary, of course.
Who's he talking about?
He's talking to you.
He's talking to you.
He's talking to you, Jack.
I saw him while I was in there.
Hey, Kevin, this is Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Whereabouts in Ohio are you located? I mean, how far south did some of the tracks you ran go? Did you run anything down around Marietta or Parkersburg, West Virginia?
He knows Leroy Davidson.
No, I wasn't.
I love Leroy Davidson. You know, Leroy went crazy up there, but I'm going to tell you something. For years, we opened up his racetrack every year with a motorcycle demolition derby,
and he did
and had a hell of a crowd. He's from Fremont or Findlay, right in that area.
Yep.
And he was one heck of a sprint car driver. He was a very, very good guy. Then he went down there and learned that there's more than one way to lose money. So I was always impressed by him. I thought he was a very good promoter. I could never say a bad word about him.
That he was.
And he always paid me. I like that.
You know what? He was a really good race promoter till he discovered how to make money building garages.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah. As soon as he started making money building garages, he lost the fire. But, you know.
That's excellent. That means he just.
Yes, very good.
Sure.
But in the last couple of weeks, there's another guy down here that you know, Don Nerone. And we're going to get into some. Don Nerone. You heard me. But we. Did you disparage him a little bit on the Florida Stock Car Racing message board?
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that. I think that I just pretended I didn't know who came up with that stupid name and said, who's the idiot that came up with that name?
About the modifieds?
Don was the very first person I ever talked to about taking my motorcycle demolition derby on the road. We were at an RPM workshop. I mean, I'm going back, God, 20-some years. And we were sitting in the bar, which is where you get everything done. And I told him I was doing that. And we started talking about what it would be to take this thing on the road. Well, he booked a show. He was running what was called Lakeland then. That was USA International or whatever, and he booked the very first show in all of Florida, and it was like a couple thousand bucks. Wasn't very much money. Well, then along comes the and it was for the following year. Along comes the new Smyrna deal, and that was going to make me a lot more money. So I booked in the new Smyrna. He called me up and says, "We got a deal." I go, "Who is this?" And I literally put him to sleep. And he's made me paid for that all these years. He canceled the show, and we're friends. You know, I can get away with a lot with it because we are friends. And to this day, I'll call him up and I'll run an idea by him. He always tells me they won't work, which means they got to try it. But Don knows more about this sport than most people.
And that's a fact.
Yeah, that is true. The problem is all the schooling that he did on learning how to deal with racetracks, he never went to that one class, well, two classes. The one was on humility, and the other one was how to be nice to people. He says what's on his mind, and which is what gets me in trouble up here all the time because I took right after him. If there's something that's not right, he'll say, it won't work, that's not right, don't do it. Whoever came up with the idea or whatever they're doing will start getting upset. He'll say, hey, I don't want to hear it. He's blunt to the point, but he won't ever lead you wrong. He's very honest. And I know that people down there really don't like it. You can imagine I have to watch coming to Florida now after calling him an idiot. I mean, I have to duck him for a couple of years. At his age, I figure his mind should start to go bad. He won't remember it.
He doesn't forget much.
God damn. Well, I thought maybe if all his hair fell out, he might. He's got a wonderful wife, though. Have you ever met Sandy?
Oh, yeah.
Sandy's
best.
Sandy is a sweetheart, and I've thought many times about running away with her, but then I remember Don has a gun.
Yeah, they're very good people.
Yes.
So, you're going to be involved, or are you involved in bringing the super modifieds to Florida in Speed Week during Speed Weeks next year?
That is going to be so neat, so big. I don't want to make this sound like a commercial. It's way too early to start commercials. But that is going to be one of the neatest shows you have ever seen. We have we start out at South Georgia Speedway, and that's the Saturday before Speed Week. Which they incidentally now have a brand new round track manager and a brand new drag strip manager. They just hired him in the last week or so. In fact, the round track manager starts work Wednesday. He's just coming there. Both of them were at Mansfield Speedway, and they both quit to go down there. the fact that they both quit 6 weeks before, they've got the Craftsman Truck Series, I didn't think was too cool. But they have moved on, as they say. We're going to be there the Saturday before. Now, we're bouncing a little bit around about the schedules. As it stands at this point, Monday night is Speed Week. They'll have the late models, and the super modifieds will be at New Smyrna. That's at this point. Now, these things can still change.
Sure.
We're looking at the Wednesday night then over at Orlando. And those are, we know where we're going. We just haven't figured out exactly the times and the dates. I believe those should be the dates.
So New Smyrna on Monday, Orlando on Wednesday?
Yeah, that gives a day off. You remember, this is supposed to be not only racing, but a vacation.
Right.
So they're all coming. That time of the year, you know, it gets pretty cold up here.
So they're saving the weekends.
A week ago here, we had 18 inches of snow on the ground. You know, it doesn't really quit when we get to spring.
We feel for you, Kevin. We really do.
No, until May. And so we're going to do South Georgia. We are going to do New Smyrna. We're going to do Orlando. And I'm toying with the fourth track as to where to take it. You got some awfully nice racetracks down there. You got USA. You got Bradenton. I mean, they're wonderful tracks. And super modifieds work best on a big third to a half a mile. Their speed is unreal. They weigh 1,800 pounds. The other day I said they weighed 1,200 pounds, and they said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, where did I get that number? It's not true. They're 1,800 pounds. They got these enormous tires on them. In fact, I asked a fella, he writes on the on what they call Pinner's Super Modified Board out of New York. He lives in Oswego, and he goes by the name Super 72. He has something to do with the Super Modified number 72. So I asked on there, I said, you know, somebody asked me how to describe a Super Modified. Which one of you said that?
I asked you that the other day.
Yes, that was right. And I said, I'm not exactly sure how to say it. So he came up with this, and I've gone and written it down because I thought it was just about right. The best way to explain what a super modified was included taking an Indy car, a USAC Sprinter, a World of Outlaw car, smash them together, and then grab a driver who has a lead right foot, no use for a left foot, quick as a cat, nerves of steel, probably missing a screw or two. Then sit back and get ready to smell the methanol and watch something you've never seen before in your life, wheel-to-wheel, raw speed, the best racing ever. That's what he wrote. And you know what? That's pretty much it.
You take an 800-pound
car, and you hang a motor. It's in the front, but it sits on there almost sideways and hangs way off the left side of the car. And you put these big 17, 18, 19-inch tires on the side on that car, and they're able to get hold of the ground. They will go around a full half-mile track, a little under 12. A 410 sprinter can do one or two laps at that, and then they're done. You know, then they have to slow up. A super modified can go 100 laps, and it will never change. They just put their foot in it. And they go. They have to breathe the engines on the corners to get the oil back down into the engine. And they take a little burp. Other than that, the car will go just as fast as the track will let it.
Kevin, it seems like to me that these super modifieds almost don't have any rules. It's almost like an open rule, whatever they can do with them.
There are rules. Rule number one.
Turn left.
There are no rules. Rule number two, refer to rule number one. There are. In fact, wait a minute. Hang on. Don't. I'll be right back. Hold on.
He's in the kitchen.
You see now why we didn't have the road on at the same time.
We got to do that.
Feed them all to you. But I have the super modified rules from MSA. There's a couple of sanctioning bodies. There's one out in California. There's one in New York, which is ISMA, and one in Ohio, which covers Michigan and Indiana. And that's called MSA, the Midwest Super Modified Association, and they have rules which are, except for left side weight, they're kind of like safety rules.
So basically, you could fit it on an index card.
You can do, pretty much. You can do just about anything that you want. They, they've gone to the wings, and they do limit the amount of square feet that your wing can be. It's about the same as a three-bedroom house. So it's, I used to like them without the wings. But I thought they were really cool. But you see them going around a racetrack, and you get out and when the sun goes down, and it's in the evening, and here will come 24 super modified going down the front straightaway, 160, 165 mile an hour and a half mile racetrack, 6 inches up between the tires. The cars are no more than a foot apart, front to back, and 6 inches side by side. They go lap after lap, and all you see are vapor trails coming off the wings. And a vapor trail is really nothing more than unused strength, unused power that the wing is not used. But you will get these vapor trails, and God, you get down like New Smyrna where they get a fog. It's got to be unreal, you know, with the dampness down there. They'll you'll be watching clouds form over the top of the supers.
Right, because when we went up there sprints. Monday, the sprints, and it was cold, and it was speed weeks. Yeah, you can see the vapor trails.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Actually, you call them contrails.
Yeah, well, there's a little difference, but yeah, they all look the same.
So, Kevin, when do you think that the schedules and so forth will be firmed up on this deal?
We're real close. The problem here is I'm almost a year before the event. When you're a year before the event, I like to be able to tell the racers pretty much what we're doing. That's why I put out these early press releases to say, by the way, we're going to be there. And then I'll come out and I'll say, these are the tracks we're going to be at. But should I say everything a year ahead of time, what the hell am I going to tell them a month before the race? Oh, yeah, folks, refer back to April when I told you about so-and-so. It gets a little tough. I will be able, because of motels and everything else, in less than a month, I will have all the racetracks and all that and the purse. Well, the purse structure, here's the purse. We are co-sanctioned. For the first time ever, the two sanctioning bodies have ever sanctioned the same thing. But ISMA and MSA will be co-sanctioning this event. They'll be using their tech people, their officials, and everything else. We'll just pay them all for that. And prior to the event, let me back up. 40-some years I've been in this business. I always show up at a racetrack, always show up at a racetrack, with a briefcase, with the payout, and the briefcase. Because every now and then you get some smart guy, well, you're going to have enough to pay us. I open the briefcase and say, there's your money right there. I don't have to wait to sell the tickets to pay, you know, the purse. It's just good business. That way, when the night's over, they get their money and they're gone within a couple of minutes. I will give the sanctioning body, and we've done work before, they will get all the money for all races that we run in advance, a couple of months ahead of time, so that they can take the money and do however they want to do. My rule with the sanctioning bodies is we pay cash, we don't pay by check. People still get 1099s at the end of the year, but we don't pay it by check. Back when I was a kid and I was racing a race car, I used to hate being at a racetrack and getting a check, having it be 2 o'clock in the morning, no gas in the car, no food, nothing to eat, no place to sleep, and I got this $500 check. There's nothing you can do. You end up sleeping in the car. And you go, well, that's rotten. So I have always paid in cash. So the sanctioning bodies will have the money. That makes it eases a lot of minds when you do this.
Well, Kevin, we're right up against it right now. Just about time to take a break. We'll be talking to you again real soon about this.
We'll get back to you in about 30 days and see where we stand with it, okay?
You got it, buddy.
All right.
It's great talking to you, man.
Get on your own. Don't give them my address.
Next time we have you on, we're going to have you both on at the same time. We decided that while we were talking to you.
All righty.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
That dude's a character, man. No doubt about it. We're going to take a quick break. And who are we coming back with, Jack?
We're going to talk to George Shaw for a few minutes from Georgia, from Boyd Speedway in Georgia.
All right.
And then Tommy Trouble.
And your microphone is not on.
Doug Rhodes.
Yeah, get close to it, Jack.
It's on.
Yeah, okay, goodbye.
He's talking to you.
If you want to talk to Bill, Jack, and Rick right now, get to the phone and dial 941-748-3490 and join the show live on air.
Short Track America reserves the right to answer stupid questions with even more stupidity.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
On any given day, somewhere between 9 and 4:30, you arrive ready to bring us the world. And for an extra 20, you'll bring us porn.
Naughty, naughty boy.
Hey, you've already got the van and the jumpsuit. Why not get into criminal activity?
Just a naughty boy.
After all, what are they going to do? Throw you in cable jail?
I don't think so.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, manhandler of the Scrambler, because isn't it about time someone hooked you up?
Mr. Designer's Cable TV Hooker
Upper. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Snook River Grill. Real Racing USA, Jack. Quite the show we got going tonight.
Yeah, Kevin Roy, Key Squad Guy. You know, we have Jason Becker here with us tonight. Racing Jason, who's during Saturday nights. He's down at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
Something I wanted to bring up.
Yes.
Jason's got a show on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely, he does.
Yeah.
Selfless Promotion, the Tower of Power.
Friday.
Every Friday night,
you interview drivers from Charlotte, the
owners, fans, sponsors, anybody that wants to come be on the show. They can.
And you get into it all.
Everything.
You don't cut nothing. You get it into it all.
No.
Shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Pete.
There goes Rick again.
I got all excited about your new show.
It doesn't matter. I'll bring in drivers that are just totally ticked off to high heaven and back. I'll talk to them.
Yeah.
I'll see what they're about, And, it's just one of them things. Everybody needs to voice their opinion. So why not give them a chance to do it? Get it all out in the open. Who's online? Yeah, he's online. George Shaw calling from Boyd's Speedway, Georgia. George, how you doing, bud?
Fine. How you doing tonight?
Oh, we're hanging in there. I'm waiting for my waitress to come back and give me another cold one. So how are things going up there at Boyd Speedway in Georgia right now? In fact, where is Boyd Speedway for the folks that don't know?
Boyd Speedway is literally located on the Tennessee-Georgia line in Ringgold, Georgia, which is just south of Chattanooga off I-75, about a half mile off the interstate.
Oh, you're kind of right up there in the corner of all of them states, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, all over the place. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. You got me now?
I got you.
Had some technical difficulty right there. So you're pretty much up there with up around South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, all up in that one little area there.
It's actually, it's the other side of the state, by Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia, where it all comes together, northwest Georgia.
How big is Boyd Speedway?
It's a 30-mile high bank clay track.
Clay.
Here about 50 years.
You got to love that Georgia clay.
Oh, yeah. It's a good racing surface.
So what do you got going on up there lately? What's been some of your big shows that are coming in that you're getting ready to have, or anything big that's happened that we need to know about?
Well, we just purchased the track about 6 weeks ago, so we've been spending some time and money getting it ready for this season. We're actually going to have our grand opening Friday, April 27th, so about 10 days from now.
Now, George, is this your first time running a track, or is this something you've done before?
No, this is my first experience of actually running a track. I've been involved in racing about 40 years now.
So what did you drive before you got into the ownership part of it?
I drove sports cars, road racing circuits back about 30 years ago. I've worked for dirt car teams probably for about 20 years, and then about 10 years ago, my daughter went to race camp at Atlanta Motor Speedway when they were reconfiguring it. She got into racing, so we've been around her cars ever since.
So it's been pretty much a family affair the whole time then.
Right.
Cool, good deal. And so what's been the driver's I mean, how long has Boyd Speedway been there?
Boyd Speedway opened in 1952, and like a lot of tracks in the South, it's been dirt and paved and back to dirt.
So what's been the reaction of some of your local drivers that have been racing there for a long time now that you come in and taking over and probably making some big changes?
Yeah, they're the track, and I'm not trying to you know, say anything bad about previous owners or anything, but the track was kind of let run down the last few years. So the local drivers are real supportive. They're looking forward to racing there. Matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, we had a cleanup day. A lot of the drivers showed up and helped cut grass and clean the weeds out of the fence and so on and so forth. So it's been real positive. They're all looking forward to getting the place open and start running there on Friday night.
That's pretty cool. I know what type of, that's always a good feeling, especially when you go through something like that and then all the drivers and your sponsors and everybody wanting to kick in and help get the place straightened back out and get it back to what it once was. That's a pretty good feeling right there, especially shows you where you stand with a lot of your fans and drivers.
Oh, yeah. It's been the local response has been really good. You know, everybody wants to see it the way it was 20, 30 years ago when you couldn't even get near the place on a Friday night.
So has Boyd Speedway always been a Friday night track?
That I'm not certain about. It has been for the last 15 years. Of course, back in the 60s when it was paved, the Cup guys actually ran a couple races there. So, or what was the Grand National back then, but they ran a couple races up there back in those paved days.
So, what are the other closer tracks to you that like? Is there a Saturday night track that runs in conjunction with you?
Right, we're running the same rules as Cleveland Speedway, which is located in Cleveland, Tennessee. It's owned by Monty Morrow and his partner. Formerly was owned by Joe Lee Johnson, who passed away last year. But we're running their rules. And what I've done is I've told the drivers if they come and run at Boyd's on Friday night and they go to and win and then go to Cleveland on Saturday night and win, I'll have an extra $100 in their pay in their check for next week.
See, now that's awesome right there.
Somebody else was just talking about that earlier. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's a good promotion there. And do you guys run any shows like a Friday night, Saturday night in conjunction shows?
We haven't gotten that far yet. I'd love to do that. This being our rookie season, so to speak, we're kind of crawling before we walk too fast. So right now we're trying to just kind of get our feet wet and run the local shows. We do have some micro sprint guys that want to come up and run a few shows up on the what they call the big track. And then I'm thinking about maybe bringing in some of the American Sprint Car Series of the Rebel region to run maybe an event later in the year.
You said the big track. Now, do you have like a smaller track that's a little bit smaller than like kind of on the inside of your track?
Yeah, down across the North Georgia Raceway, which is Chatsworth, Georgia, there's a small go-kart track. It's like a fifth of a mile.
I got you.
And that's where these guys have been running, and they're kind of excited about maybe getting on a third of a mile high bank track and really letting it fly.
So what classes are you running there?
We're running the front runner class, which is the front wheel drive. We're running the pony stocks or mini stocks, depending on what you want to call them, the four cylinder class. A and B hobbies and limited late models. And if we can compress the show enough, we're going to bring the super late models in, but we do have a 11:30 curfew, so we got to be able to make sure we can get it all in.
Now, Jack, what's that speedway we were talking to, the one that's having trouble with the county commissioner?
Yeah, Cochran?
Cochran. How far are you from there?
Cochran's, that's 700 miles. That's a problem. But the problem we've got with this track is it is located relatively close to a residential area.
Yeah, but when it was built, it wasn't, was it?
Oh, it was. Yeah, when it was built, it was probably in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
You've been around Georgia racing for a long time, George?
Yeah, I grew up in Atlanta, and my first foray into racing was actually selling newspapers at Atlanta Motor Speedway back in 64 when it was new. Of course, then it was Atlanta International Raceway. And so that's kind of where I cut my teeth on racing, and it's been in my blood ever since.
How would you assess the current state of stock car racing in the Peach State?
Well, I'd say at least in the North Georgia area, it's really strong. We've got North Georgia Speedway, which is under new promoters this year, and they had their first night. They had so many people, they actually had to turn people away. So from a fan standpoint, it's really, there's a good fan base. And, of course, some of the best dirt late model drivers in the world coming out of the Chattanooga-Rossville.
So being in North Georgia, I mean, what's your racing season?
We actually start, normally the racing season starts about the middle of March, and we'll run through Thanksgiving. So it's a pretty long season.
It's pretty close to what we do down here.
Right.
Do you bring in any, like, national events or anything, like the Winter Nationals down here at East Bay?
We, in the area they do, of course, like I said before, us being kind of rookies at this week and not having closed on the track until 1st of March, we're not going to be able to do any of that this year, but we certainly look forward to doing it next year. Something like the Thunder Series or the Southern All-Stars or something like that.
Go ahead.
George, dirt track versus asphalt.
Pardon?
Dirt track versus asphalt.
Yeah, well, in this part of the country, you don't see too many asphalt short tracks. You got Lanier down in just north of Atlanta, but you got to go another 100 miles north to find another asphalt track.
Why would you run an asphalt track with all that Georgia clay everywhere?
Exactly. I wouldn't, but some people would.
There's like, what, there's four asphalt tracks? Four asphalt tracks in the one of our guests just
Tommy Trouble already doing some stunts right here.
Our extreme stunt driver just about dumped his laptop on the floor here. There's like four asphalt tracks and mostly dirt tracks in Georgia. Then
that is correct.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, in fact, I think
when do you fire up then?
We're firing up April 27th.
Right.
Hopefully we'll get the first car on the track about 6:30 for hot laps.
A couple of weeks. So a couple of weeks. All right. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do, George. We wanted to touch base. We have a couple more questions, but we certainly wanted to get in touch with you and get some information out about your track. And after you get going here, we'll have you back on and you can tell us how it's going. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was just going to ask if they've got a website up yet. I know he's new to this and everything. If he's got a website that everybody can check his track out at. George?
We have a shell of a website. We are working on it as we speak. It is Boyds, B-O-Y-D-S, speedway.com. Like I said, it's just kind of a shell. It has very limited information right now. But hopefully in the next week or so, we'll have all those under construction sites filled up with information.
There you go. Well, you know, we've been doing this Internet stuff for a long time now. We just last year, late in the year, we put together a GeorgiaStockCarRacing.com, and it's starting to come together. Of course, there's still a tremendous amount of work to do, but once you get going, we certainly would like to run information and news and photographs and promote your track a little bit.
Sure, love that.
All right, George, thanks a lot for calling in tonight, brother.
Okay, y'all have a good evening.
All right. Thank you, George.
Thanks, George.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Cool. Dirt track racing in northern Georgia. You know that red clay is hard to get off your car, Rick.
I know that. Yeah. I would never be a dirt track racer.
I used to live up there when I was a little kid.
Yeah. Where didn't you live?
I lived all over, man. I know. I'll tell you, ain't it amazing?
Running's a bitch, ain't it?
Yeah. started with us five.
I found out something about Rick the other day.
What'd you find out about me?
He's a mountaineer. Oh, wait, not Rick. Jack, sorry.
Jack,
I was talking to him, not you.
Yeah, I'm not a mountaineer, man.
Jack's a mountaineer.
I like level ground.
Yeah, buddy. The new river.
So, Jack, who we got sitting with us?
We got Tommy Trouble's been here, of course. We talked to Tommy a little bit ago. We can come back to him now.
Talking shit all over the place.
The man with the hottest seat in Florida.
The Mamba Man, Doug Rose. How you doing, Doug?
We're doing just fine now.
You love this place here, don't you? Snook River Grill.
Oh, yeah. They got great food here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't talk to you guys. I just come down to eat.
That's right. So what you been doing? Now, you were down at Charlotte County Motorsports Park not too long ago, and you just came from another engagement.
Yeah, we were over in Fort Pierce. Sunday we got rained on, but we got the show off Friday and Saturday, and we did a real good job, burned the van up. Yeah. And then ran the car around doing figure eights around the mounds. It was a monster truck show. So I didn't go over the humps, but I ran around in circles. And the car is pretty much done now. We've got the engine running. We're great. We need some body panels. We still have to get finished up. It's finding somebody who can help me do that because the ones that were on there were pretty well busted up. And other than that, the car is running great. It's cutting right through things, making lots of power and fire and scaring everybody.
The thing that I find funny is you said, you got all the problems sorted out. From what I saw when you were down at Charlotte was there was no problems there at all. There was nothing left of that Ford Exploder.
It really lived up to his name, Exploder.
I was down there the week after, and Bill Hunt over here was a photographer and video guy down there. He's out there giving me these pieces of molten metal.
Engine block.
Yeah, little pieces. These are souvenirs. He says this is all that was left.
What's Bill's website? What's Bill's website?
Speedimages.net.
Right. You want to see some killer pictures of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have any problems. We cracked a brake caliper while we were down there going around the track, and it kept diving to the left. So I couldn't really rev it up on the straightaway. But we're going to be down there again in May on the 12th. And we got new solenoids on it for making bigger fire shows. Had a couple of those go bad on us. We didn't know that a lot of the things that they went to take off the car, they used a crowbar, you know. So,
we got to get John his phone number because John desperately wants him at DeSoto Speedway.
They want you out there.
At DeSoto.
They want you.
What, DeSoto?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
He wants you.
I love that place.
I'm to kick
it's
the tires
big.
And light the
yeah.
fires.
Yeah,
it's big. I can get fast around there.
Yeah.
I'll get him your number tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. And what was the deal at Fort Pierce? Was it a fair or fairgrounds or what?
It's a fairgrounds, and it was a monster truck show that Jim Morris put on. But it did well, and we're going to be at another show in Sebring this coming weekend on the 21st and the 22nd. We're going to be down there Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. And then in May, we're going to be in Ponte Gorda on the 12th again. So they love us down there, so we're going to go back and do an improved show. Hope they got something bigger for me to blow up.
There's something in the works.
Yeah. we were talking, I guess, prior
I heard they were going to burn the junkyard dog glass.
Yeah, that might be a good thing to do. That might be a good
The
thing
next suspension is burn the car.
Burn your car. Yes.
By the way, Rick, when we were talking about his show, his Tower Power show, now that week before, Bobby Deal had banned all these guys.
Right, right,
the
right,
class.
Right. Yeah, banned the class.
So Jason gets Bobby
Deal. I told John that. He goes, what is he, nuts?
Yeah, he bans the whole class. Well, Jason gets Bobby Deal and several of the junkyard drivers in. And they come on his show, and they apologize.
I listened to it. I listened to it.
Yes.
Hey, look who just came in the house. It's Bud Howell from DeSoto Speedway. He's our flagman here.
Extraordinaire right there, buddy.
Well, imagine that.
Yeah.
What'd you do, just stumble into the place here?
Yeah.
Tommy, let him grab that microphone.
Take a look and check you guys out.
Bud Howell, new flagman at DeSoto Speedway.
You're the flagman at DeSoto?
Yes, I am.
He throws the laundry around.
Well, you must live around here. You just come in here to eat?
No, it's the first time I've ever been in the Snook Grill.
Yeah?
Yes. I just moved over here from Kissimmee, and I live now in Venice.
Yeah. This place used to be crazy. You know, it used to be called the Fumble Inn. And a lot of us, like, who lived around here, we had another name for it, and it was called the Stumble Inn.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people used to stumble
and
in.
And it lived up
place.
To its reputation. But it's a little bit different now. It's a really nice restaurant.
That's so, really great.
Bud's, you know, new flagman this year at DeSoto Speedway. You've been throwing laundry around this state for a long time, though. Tell, give us a little background on yourself.
He's been everywhere.
Well, I've been kind of everywhere. I started off in Michigan and Ohio area, flagging there for an Iceman series. I did a couple shows for even Earl at Eldora.
Earl Baltich.
Yes. And then I moved down here to Florida 5 years ago. Got to finish the first time for me at Hialeah. So I got to close out with them, and then I moved to with Leroy to Charlotte.
You were at Hialeah the last night?
I flagged the last year of the last night, yes.
Really?
So it was kind of...
We were there that night.
It was kind of nice. It was a packed house. We didn't get done. I think I got done waving my last flag about 3:30 in the morning.
It was like... Yeah, and I was that was about the time I was, like, going around. We were trying to find something to steal to take home with us as a souvenir. It must have been 7,000 people there that night.
Oh, it was packed.
I almost got that sign at Lakeland. And then I got busted.
But, yeah, that's cool.
And then I left Charlotte County and went to DeSoto. So that's where I'm in this year.
Huh. Imagine that. And now, didn't you... You must be the guy, then, who threw Jeff Schofield out last week.
A couple weeks ago, yes, I did.
I mean, here's one of the best race car drivers, one of the top late, super late model drivers, not just in Florida, in the country, and you, like, black flag him? What's the deal?
Well, he got black flagged because he went after a couple other drivers, and I don't tolerate it. Now, if he went to the tail, I mean, there was still half a race left. So he had a great running car that night. He knows how to run the outside groove to where if he would have kept his temper down, I guarantee he'd have probably finished in the top 10, if not winning the race. So when he went after first and second place, that's when I decided that enough's enough, because if he stayed on the track, there ain't no telling how many cars he might have destroyed because of being upset to get back up to the front.
Now, the first and second place was Jefferson and Jeff Choquette. Now, there's some pictures on Carnac.com from Bronson this past weekend, and there's two drivers standing up on the wall looking down at two totally destroyed race cars that happened to be Jeff Schofield
Rick Warren,
and Jeff Choquette.
Rick Warren from RicksDarkroom.com took that picture of those two guys up on the wall having a discussion about the and it was a point, obviously, the picture says a pointed discussion.
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, Bud's been well-received by the drivers, goes to the drivers' meeting every week, and accessible to the drivers after the races. So what do you think of DeSoto?
DeSoto's an awesome track. I mean, it's got a lot of potential. I'm hoping that we can get the car count up even more than what it is now. And I'm hoping that everyone sees that since John's hired me, that I'm trying to run a fair show. And a safe show. That's my whole goal, is safety first. And when you get hotheads out there, you got to get them off.
What's your role in what do you consider the role that you play in building car count?
Building car count is you got to make sure that you're consistent with your calls. No favoritism. And also that you're going to pay what you're going
to
pay.
So you have to dislike all the drivers evenly.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Or like them all fairly.
You're a funny guy. Well, you're a funny guy.
That's like I told him before in a driver's meeting. They're all friends when they're without their helmet and race gear on. But as soon as they put their race gear on or their helmet on, they become brain dead.
I'll vouch for Bud, man. I tell you what, he is a take no prisoners flagman.
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt
quote.
About it.
You get the brain dead quote.
Now, brain dead. Brain dead. Helmet with the brain dead. Yes. I've heard that quote before.
And it's that way. I mean, if you look at it and you see racing is a family. If one of the race car drivers gets hurt or their family, all the tracks around Florida get together and help out. But then when they put the helmet on and get on the track, if you touch me, watch out.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
That's it. So my thing is if you got that bad of a temper and you're trying to show it, then yes, you need to leave, because you're going to either going to hurt yourself or hurt other cars.
Okay. So you think, like, by being tough on these guys, then you'll have more cars come?
Well, that and being consistent. That's the main thing, because you can't show favoritism.
Right.
Or say, well, I think it happened this way when it happened another way. So if you're consistent with all your calls and you're fair with the drivers, and, you know, like I said, in the drivers' meeting, I say, let's bring the fun back into racing.
On average, how many bad calls do you make on a Saturday night?
I would say I'm hoping none, but, you know, I might be one or two because I'm human too. You know, just like a race car driver, he can make a bad decision going in the turn and touch a guy.
That's
the other thing Bud brings
cool.
is we bring the show back to the racetrack. We had like 30 little kids out there. They were spread all over the grandstands, had bought little checker flags, you know, and all. They're waving through the crowd and stuff. Bomber race, was it? I don't remember what race.
No, we had it for the
Legends. Legends. We had Legends out there, and they put on a really good show, had a good class of Legends out there. And Bud said to me, he said, get all those kids and gather them up in the breezeway, and they'll throw the checkered flag at the same time. 30 kids down there.
That's cool.
It was awesome.
Cool.
Parents taking pictures and stuff.
You know, my thing is you got to bring the car count to get the fans. That's the bottom line for racing. If you don't have the cars, you're not going to get your fans. That's simple.
And my thing has always been to involve the fans.
Well, you know, the standard is Citrus County in Florida. Actually, in Florida and Georgia.
Right.
The standard is Citrus County Speedway. I mean, they're still doing 150, 160 cars on Saturday.
That's it. Yeah. When I flagged in a little track called Oakshade in Ohio, we had only had three divisions of racing. That's it. Super lates, limited lates, and bombers. And we had 240 cars in the pits every Saturday night. Now, that's a show. And you wanted to get this? $10. That's all it was to get in. Even when we had the big boys come in for a 100-lap race, it was still $10. So that's what was nice back home. It's nice down here because I can flag all year round instead of 4 to 5 months out of the year.
Unless it gets down to 40 degrees.
Like 2 weeks ago when it was really butt-ass cold here, and everybody's wearing jackets and got their hunting gear on and all that in the grandstands. He's up
Couldn't
there.
Couldn't see nobody. Everybody was in camo.
He was up there in short sleeves and all that. Jack's telephone.
Oh, is it for me, Jack? I'm not here.
Yeah, we're closed.
Tell her I left.
You're going to have to call us on the studio line.
Yeah, on the studio line.
It's Rudiman. He's trying to sell us some pizza.
Well, pizza.
Mr. Mumbo, Rick, what is the studio line?
941-748-3490. Wait 7 seconds.
Yep. So, you like to see this guy come out to your track?
Yes, I really did. I got to see the video of what he did, that poor van or SUV. I tell you what, I felt sorry for that sucker. But I think it would be awesome to see him at DeSoto Super Speedway.
Well, it's been quite a journey. I mean, you've had an adventure, Doug. There's no doubt.
We've been there before, and have always had a good turnout. So, I'm sure they'll be happy with us again.
Last time I saw him, he did a Lincoln.
Fort Pierce, and when you go to Sebring this week, do the people come out? Do they know? Do you have a lot of people who know you? Who know the Green Mamba? Are they familiar with?
Yeah, we actually have drag fans that come out there and watch these different shows. They come to Oval Tracks, which they would normally not go to,
right?
Just to see the Mamba. It's been around for almost 40 years.
Right.
And the fact that it still draws is because it's been the same car for all that time, and it's always done its job. And it was 11 times National Jet Car Champion, and it's been always consistent. It was one of the first cars that went 300 miles an hour and a quarter. And it's just got a good reputation. It's got a big, powerful engine, and to prove that, sometimes we tie things behind it, like cars, vans, 18-wheeler one time, and cut them in half with the blast. That blue flame you see come out of the back of those fighter planes over across the pond there, and we have the same thing. It's a fighter plane engine.
With an afterburner.
Yeah, but it's from the 50s, so she's old. But, you know, we like to relive the 50s, and it actually cuts cars and pickups and everything right in half.
Yes, it does.
Giant cutting torch. So don't park in my spot.
It throws pieces everywhere.
You got somebody on the line there?
Yes, we do. Mr. Scott McAllister.
Scotty Mack.
What's going on, guys?
What's
Green
up?
Baba, come on.
Bring it, right?
Hey, just how much horsepower does that thing make, you know, the Green Mamba?
Well, it only makes about 7,000 horsepower. Kind of a weak dog compared to
only 7,000.
Only about 7 grand. Yeah,
you know. Squeeze another 100 out of it.
What's on your mind, Scott?
Nothing, man. We just got back from Jacksonville, as a matter of fact. Just got back home, so we got a little bit of work to do in the car. We're just working away, getting things going, and calling in to see what's happening with you guys down there in the Snook River Bar and Grill.
So are you coming down to join us next Tuesday night?
We will be down tomorrow next Tuesday night. Myself and Bobby Orr will be down and be able to chat about, of course, his father, Pete, and some of their earlier racing days and some of his thoughts and memories and about Pete and how he grew up and some of those things, and then what's going on with Bobby here in the future. So, yeah, it'd be a good time down there. We're looking forward to it.
Ought to be a hell of a show. I'm looking forward to working with you again, Scott. You know, Pete Orr, he was the man, no doubt. I mean, I a lot of racetrack, you know, race drivers that you and I have met, interviewed on the front stretch, regardless, whatever. Nobody seems to garner the respect that Pete Orr has.
You know, he's just a classic person. He really is just a gentleman in every way, shape, form, and fashion. And you know, maybe it's, you know, that's the way people remember him. Maybe that's why. I'm not sure. But, you know, it's just literally, I go to Bobby's house, and it gives me chill bumps when I walk in there. And, I mean, he's got trophy rooms that, I don't know how many trophies are in there. But, he raced back in the days when they raced 4, 5, 6 times a week. And, you know, and he was just, he was the throwback to the old ages. You know, you talk about back in the day, he was literally back in the day.
So, for people who may be new to all of this deal, Pete Orr was obviously one of the most respected race car drivers that ever played that game here.
Ever walked the South, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, and was taken by cancer in 2002 at age of like 42, I believe. Could be wrong there, but we're going to do a show next week. So many people. There's a section. We have a section of Florida Stock Car Racing where we have some stuff in there about some of the people that were legends, considered legends in Florida stock car racing. It's absolutely amazing that Pete, the photograph gallery of Pete Orr is one of the most viewed areas of a very busy website, and it always amazes me every month to look at that. So we decided that we're going to do a little tribute show next week.
You know, on top of that, I mean, look at the drivers he's mentored. You know, it's unreal.
There are countless numbers of them, you know, just countless numbers of people that, you know, it's when you talk to people, they always come back to, you know, saying, yeah, my days of that, I worked with Pete Orr, I went to the track with Pete Orr. I mean, just going to the track, you know, is literally enough for people to remember their experience with Pete for the rest of their lives.
And it goes all the way up to NASCAR. I mean, he was, from the Busch Grand National Series and all the way. It was amazing.
It's just like I said, he was the last one of the few guys that literally, I mean, worked on his car. I mean, you know, he would drive it to the track, work on the car all day long, get in it, and then drive it. You know, I mean, you just don't, that's just really one of the last, you know, that you'll ever see of that kind of deal again. And it's really, really a tribute to, you know, and it's something for younger kids nowadays to take a look at, because many of those kids and many of the children we know nowadays that are growing up and getting into auto racing, they just don't do it that way anymore. And, you know, it's kind of cool to sit back and say, look, this is, and, you know, back in the old days, this is the way they used to do it. So it's kind of cool.
Hey, Scott, if you're not doing anything, what are you doing this Saturday night?
Saturday night, I think I'm going to go over to Inverness and see my buddy Mike Bresnahan race over there.
Well, I got a better plan for you.
All right, let's hear it.
You need to go over to Lakeland, USA International Speedway, and check out, we have Tommy Trouble here with us tonight.
Yeah?
We got these videos. It shows what he does. This is the craziest thing you ever seen in your life. He does this thing called a suicide spiral. I'm watching it on video as I'm just telling. This will take your breath away, man.
What did he do this in? The suicide spiral? Is it the car?
A car.
Hang on, he's going to tell you. What time was
This one's going to be a Parisian. I usually use a full-frame car, any type of full-frame LTDs, anything that has a full frame in it so I can put my roll cage in, smash it up, and send it right back to the junkyard.
That's nice.
So, get going 65 miles an hour, go up a ramp, and then spin the car through a spiral 150 feet?
Yeah, I have to at least go 150 feet to get to my first catch car. So I'm going to be doing about 180 feet.
The only way you can...
And what do you call that again? That's called the what?
Suicide. Just suicide's all you need to know.
Yeah. Anytime you start off with that, you know, I'm going to have an issue when the title of the event is called Suicide Roll.
Scott, we asked him what it took to get prepared for it. He said a 12-pack.
No doubt. 12-pack and a mouthpiece, I'm sure, man.
Oh, I forgot the mouthpiece.
You'll be impressed when you see it.
You're talking about pulling those belts tight. Holy smoke.
Just looking at it on video, the only way to describe it is like the corkscrew at an amusement park on a roller coaster.
Want to know how I describe it? It's sick.
Insanity.
It's sick.
You see some crazy stuff at the tracks, and you see these guys that go like, oh, no, we're meaning to do this. It's like, dang, man, holy smoke. But, you know, it's... Those guys, I take my hat off to them. I never went for it this first time I saw one of those.
That's you up there.
Yeah, I'm about 40 feet high in
this
one.
This video is like just too much.
See, I guarantee a crash.
Yeah, guarantee.
Exactly right, yeah.
But there's only one thing that can go right that I walk away.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing. But, yeah, it's like Bristol. You know, you're guaranteed to see some smashing going on. But, man, this, I'm sure y'all start off from the start that way.
So, Scott, Rick and I will get in touch with you in the next day or two.
Sure.
About next week's show. And
And just have people, if they're interested, just email in any questions that they might have about Pete or, you know, anything that they may want to ask or know or do, and we can perhaps set some stuff aside, and we'll be glad to talk about it. And hopefully we'll get a big crowd up there at the Snook River Bar and Grill and have a good time.
All right. Good deal, man.
Guys, I appreciate it. We look forward to seeing y'all next Tuesday night.
Talk to you soon.
See you next week, Scotty Mac.
All right, bye. Thanks, guys.
So what time? What are the details of the show Saturday, Tom?
The gates open at 5 o'clock, and I believe there's going to be some bus rides for the kids at like 6:30 or so, and then the whole event starts at 7:30. And like I said, there's going to be motorcycle demolition derby, regular demolition derby, some other type of things like sub-domino where they drive a car underneath some other cars. I think there's going to be a T-bone crash. And I'm going to do the suicide spiral. I'm going to go off probably around 8:30, 9 o'clock.
You were, like, really high up in the air in that jump.
Yeah, we're guesstimating that I was an actual 40 feet high. That's four stories
it
high.
It looked that Sicko. High. It well, looked that high, didn't it?
It really was that high. I mean, I think I'm underestimating it right now.
Yeah.
But we haven't been able to. See, I'm one of those underestimators. I'm not a guy that sits there and says, I just flew a car 300 feet when I actually did it for 223 feet. And there's two reasons for that. I don't want anybody else coming up behind me and thinking that they can actually go 300 feet. You start going over 200 feet, you're sloshing your brain around. You're really hurting yourself.
I've sloshed my brain.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And you know, you start, and then you'll even start believing it yourself that you actually went 300 feet when you didn't. So you have to really keep it in control and know what you're talking about.
How old are you, Tommy?
I'm 42, believe it or not.
42.
Now,
seven more years, you're going to be going, damn!
I've been waiting all night.
I'm already doing that. You kidding?
Yeah, I did it back then, too. Now I'm doing it worse.
Rick, I've been waiting all night to get to this now. I want to hear what, from what I understand, Tommy Trouble and Doug Rose, the Green Mamba, were in Aruba together doing shows. I want to hear the story here. Now, what's this? What was this like?
Yeah. I have the deportation letter right here.
Well, I think Aruba tried to charge me like a couple $100,000 because of Doug's car.
Did you both put on shows?
Yeah.
What was the deal?
We sent stuff over in a container. We sent his car and my car and some ramps over in a container, and we did the show over there. You know, it's, hey, what time does the show start? Oh, 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30. You know, it's like, maybe tomorrow. You know,
this
so it's not
island.
On a set regiment.
This is an island right out in the middle
of
the Caribbean.
It's a small little island.
22 miles long, 7 miles wide, and if you're lucky on the little piece of four-lane road they've got in front of the airport, you might get up to 55.
I just have to know, what did you melt down in Aruba?
Oh, he melted a car down big time. I mean, he sent sparks everywhere.
The only big car they had on the island, and then there was a wall behind it. The piece would fly off, hit the wall, and you know how molten pieces, when they hit things, they spark all over? Well, there was a bunch of non-paying spectators sitting on the
That's
wall.
That's classic.
And as soon as I started molten. Pouring dust and dirt over there, they bailed. And on the other side, what was there? Cactus.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they were all jumping real fast.
I'd have paid money to see that.
There are those who did.
Well, Rick, I think it'd be great if we could get both of them at
Rick, I think it'd be great if we could get both of them at DeSoto Super Speedway.
That would be fantastic.
Well, that,
throw Benny the Bomb in there too.
That's up to John because John signs the checks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Wow. Everything got quiet when we said John signs
tomorrow.
The checks.
We'll give him the numbers. That's cool. So, were you guys over there for a long time?
No, we were over there for we went over for the one weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were there a total of 5 days or so. Setting up, and we didn't really have time to vacation. We were working.
The place is a floating tourist trap.
Yeah?
They have big cruise ships that come in there. They had one day they had three of them docked in there. The place was crawling with tourists.
Now, your wife says you guys were having way too much fun over there.
Yeah, but, you know, what happens in Aruba stays in Aruba. Isn't that where that's supposed to be? That's not Vegas, right?
Secret psycho.
And the State Department.
Yeah.
Who Benny the Bomb?
Benny the Bomb. He's the guy who blows himself up, right?
He blows himself up in a car, a portalette. He's been on Leno 3 times.
I'll blow myself up in anything.
I'll give you his number. You guys need to talk to him. He's a great guy.
He's a Floridian.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. He's close by.
Yeah.
Benny, what do you do for a living? I blow myself up.
Yeah. He's been on Leno 3 times. Yep, he's a good guy, yep.
I know I've heard of him.
After he blew himself up in a box, and after he blew up, he rolled because he was on fire.
Yeah.
And he jumped up. And
he needs a microphone when he talks. Somebody hand him a microphone.
Oh, sorry.
What did you say?
I seen him on TV, and when he blew himself up, he was in a box, a little box. And when he blew up, he come out of there rolling on fire, and then as soon as they put him out... He got up and was fine and wanted to do it again.
I know I've seen this.
He said the only thing that's bad is his ears because of the explosion. Yeah. That's what he said. Yep. Other than that, he said it's a piece of cake.
Yep.
I asked him one time and he said, huh?
Oh, you've talked to him?
Not really, Jack. It's radio. It's the theater of the mind.
We lost Jack on that one.
Okay. I'm talking to you.
So, you know, we're going to skip gears here, or change gears here real quick from this.
Skip.
Yeah, we skipped them. You know, at the end of May.
There's no professionalism left in this
no,
show.
No, absolutely. It left.
Sorry, I'm getting my black flag out.
Frank Kimmel, who has won the ARCA Championship 8 times, is putting on a race at Kentucky Speedway for bomber drivers. Right?
Right.
Right.
Bomber drivers.
We have one of those bomber drivers who's going to be there on the phone right now.
We have a history with this bomber driver.
Yeah, we do have some.
Used to have the Karnak.com on the back bumper? Is that the
he did.
Is it a 2 or 4 engine bomber?
Flying
Brian Brechter. How you doing?
I'm doing real good. How are you guys doing tonight?
We've completely lost it out of control.
that's the story of my life. No, not exactly. But it's good to be on a show. Is everybody doing well down there?
We're doing fine. Are you getting ready for this big show in Kentucky?
I'm doing everything I can to get ready. Money's a little bit tight. Always has been. But, that's never stopped me from getting where I'm going. So I'm excited about it. There's a big purse involved, and it's a great opportunity to race on the big track. So.
What is? It's like $10,000 to win, isn't it? How many laps?
Yeah, it's $10,000 to win. It's like $1,000 for fifth. It pays real good all the way back through about the top 20, and it's 100 laps, 150 miles. There's going to be a mandatory caution at lap 51 to put some gas in them tires if you want. It's looking like we might not need to put tires on them, so that should save me some money on race day.
Well, the nice thing I think that it's kind of cool about the whole deal. I mean, you guys are racing at Kentucky Speedway. And they're kind of treating you guys like royalty almost.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity. You know, the local short track Saturday night guy you know, we're never going to get a chance to race on a big mile or mile and a half track, you know, unless we get a ride with somebody.
Unless Frank Kimmel puts on a race that makes you come.
Exactly. You know, and I'd like to see it go as far as, I've talked to a few people around here. We'd like to see somebody maybe even toy with the idea of turning this thing into some kind of a series, you know, maybe like a five-race enduro challenge series, space them out every 2 months or something, run some big tracks, and maybe have a good point fund in it at the end of the year or something.
We could wind you guys up at Daytona.
I would. You know, 300-400 cars, the more the merrier. I've been saying that for years.
That'd be a hell of an enduro, man.
Exactly. They've got, I believe, over 150 cars entered right now. They're going to start a maximum of 300. So if we get over 200 cars, it should be very interesting.
Yeah, I talked to you. You said the more cars, the better luck you think you're going to have.
Oh, most definitely. Anything to slow the fast guys down. Bring them back to me. You know, I've been missing wrecks for years. I've gotten real good at keeping the fenders on the stuff.
So. Brian, are they? How are the race rules? I mean, it's not like, is it an enduro?
Well, they're dubbing it an enduro. It's open to anything from like a hobby stock type car up to a sportsman type car. Now, I'm not real clear on what the rules per se are on the local guys in the, you know, the Indiana, Ohio areas like that. But I talked to Frank and Bill, and it's not so much the enduro car that we're used to as far as, you know, a 4-point cage and street tires and that kind of thing. They're more closer to like a sportsman type car. Now they've got the rules kind of fairly open to allow, you know, multiple different types of cars into this thing, but there's key points such as like brakes and, you know, fancy pedal setups and things of that nature that they're trying to keep out. They've got everybody with an automatic transmission, so it's going to keep the high dollar lightweight manual stuff out of it. They've got a gear rule on us, 273 to 308, try to keep the RPMs down. As far as the engine rules, we've got a 400 cubic inch rule, all cast iron, no angle plug head, cast iron intake, exhaust manifold, and a two-barrel Holley carburetor.
Yeah.
As far as that, it's kind of open.
Hey, Brian. You know me. I fell asleep when you went past the word carburetor. I was talking about crashing rules. How do the rules out on the track work?
That I'm not real sure of yet. I've heard that they will have cautions, but, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a quick caution or if, you know, a spin out, they're going to let it go, or if, you know, if it's a big wreck, maybe they're going to have a caution. That I'm not real clear of. So it's kind of a wait-and-see deal. Like I said, it's the first annual, so it's the first time anything's been done like this. So it's kind of an experiment at this point. But
we're going to try to have Frank back on in the next couple of weeks.
Well, you know, and what we're going to do is we're going to sponsor Tommy in that race, and he's just going to jump over the whole damn field.
What do you think?
You're going to do the suicide spiral over Kentucky Speedway, Tommy?
Let's do it.
300 cars.
If the sponsorship's right, we're there.
Going the other way. They're going that way, and he's going to jump over them coming the other way.
I got to.
That would be a hell of a show, both of you guys coming to DeSoto Speedway.
Yeah. You could always jump over me while I'm burning a car.
There we go.
You know what would be a hell of a show is if they came on New Year's Eve.
You remember the guy with the bicycle who went over me at what used to be, it's USA now, but it used to be Lakeland Speedway. He went over and he did it also at
Sky Lungston.
Sky
passed away.
Yeah.
Guy passed away.
Yeah, just shortly ago, yeah.
Yep.
We grew up watching him jump down at our track, didn't we, Brian?
Yeah, the guy went over me with a roller skate.
Crash.
What's that?
And the guy jumped me with a bicycle.
We always used to
he ought to be able to jump me with a spinning car.
Sky was on our very first show. That
very
we ever
first
did.
Show, yes, sir.
Back in 2000.
He was injured at Volusia Speedway, he never quite recovered from that. Jim Dygert, very good friend with Jim Dygert, and Jim told me last time Jim was in that Sky had passed away.
Yeah. Brian, real quick, what are you doing right now? I know you're getting ready for the Kentucky
Are you watching
race.
American Idol?
No, I'm not watching American Idol. I'm sorry. I hate to disappoint the listening audience out there, but no, I'm not.
Real quick, 2007 season, last year you took the championship at Lanier and Anderson. You going to try to do it again this year?
Yeah, I'm going to try to repeat on these guys. I'm defending champ Super Renegade class at Anderson Speedway and the Renegade class at Lanier National. So got the same old bird, same equipment. I've just been taking real good care of it and just trying to get the ball rolling here and try to do it again. So.
All right, man. Good deal. Good deal. All right. Thanks for coming out, being on the show with us, and good luck up there in South Carolina and Georgia and good luck up in Kentucky.
Thank you very much. I look forward to bringing one home for us.
So. All right, brother.
Appreciate the opportunity to get on the show, and thanks everybody.
Hey, Brian. Brian, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
We're going to have to figure out how to get Karnak.com on the bumper of that car like we used to have it.
It's on the fender, Jack.
On the fender, is that what you call that?
Yes.
It was all over his blue and white car.
That's the one.
Yeah.
You got my address, Jay, so, you know, whatever we can do.
All right, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get something on there.
You know.
We'll do it up.
A little gas money to Kentucky might help, so.
we'll send you Jack's credit card.
We'll figure something out.
Give me a gas card. There you go.
All right, brother.
Good luck, Brian.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, so Tommy, is there anything else we need to? Where's your website again? We'll put a link on our website.
Put a link on your website, and just come out Saturday. The gates open at 5:00. Show starts at 7:30. I'll be going off at 8:30, 9:00. It's going to be a good show. There's going to be a lot of destruction, a lot of carnage. So if that's what you like to see some car crashes, definitely come on out there. There's going to be some good explosions and. We just need everybody out there that can get out there.
Troublestunts.com. That's his website. Wow, another 2 hours.
Yeah, it should be a great show up there. And, Doug, you'll be at Sebring on
this coming weekend, Saturday night and Sunday afternoon.
And so they got to come see you on Sunday afternoon. Yeah. All listeners to our show have to go see Doug on Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
Because they have to go see Tommy Trouble.
On Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Do the suicide spiral. Yeah.
Carnage. It's a carnage weekend.
It's carnage weekend.
This weekend, what do we got, bud? What's going on at DeSoto?
We got school bus figure eight, man. I tell you what. And
total
also
carnage
got
weekend.
Limited lates, late model race.
Absolutely. And you got something else, too. Oh, trucks.
People want to hold
yeah,
on.
We got the fast trucks, too, Saturday night.
You guys are doing modifieds or something?
Twin 50s, open wheel modified. It's going to be lighting up the Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
They're going to have 100 cars, I heard.
Well, Jason will be prepared with his. He will be ready now to be wrestling on the infield because he's getting really adept at this.
Awesome.
Hello?
Awesome.
I tell you what, I'm surprised
Yellow
I still have
mud.
Fingers after this week. I was holding. I had four guys on that fence trying to get through there.
I want to know what's going on with all these tracks.
What?
Auburndale. I heard you guys on the radio. Taser. Getting tasered.
If anybody's got
Charlotte
pictures
County
of that,
Speedway getting beat up on the front stretch.
I want to see them on the message board tonight.
And we're just mellow now.
And we're mellow.
Mellow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
DQ people and they just go home.
Okay.
I think it's because we pull with the kids and that way there's no trouble.
And tomorrow night, Short Track America premieres the ASA Fastlane.
That was cool. I just read about that before I came up here.
Tomorrow night. That was way cool. Tomorrow night.
Awesome. Next
we'll make a lot more about it after we've done a couple.
Next week, right here at the Snook River Grill, it'll be Pete Orr night. Scott McAllister, Bobby Orr will be joining us, along with a long list of Pete Orr affiliates and partners in crime.
Yep. Thank you guys for coming in tonight,
this,
man. It was fun.
This Friday night, thank live you. From the Tower of Power, I'm going to have angry
you.
Drivers and angry sponsors.
Take
Bud,
it to the limit,
thanks
right?
a lot, brother.
Hey, I had fun, and it was nice meeting Mr. Danger here. I tell you what, I saw some of that videos, and I even said, hey, I like to strap in there. But after watching more of them, I think I'd probably weigh the left side down.
Racing Jason Beckner.
Thank you, sir.
Look at time.
Be back in a couple weeks.
Absolutely.
Great working with you.
As a matter of fact, before we go, I need to explain this thing just for a minute. Bill Green... who is works with us in Short Track America.
He got an excellent job.
He is now writing for the Tampa Tribune,
right.
Motorsports writer. He's not going to be doing the Tuesday night show with us for a while. He's really working on the
Saturday
Tampa
Night
thing.
Live.
And the Saturday night show after the races, 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night. Tune in up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. All the results. He talks to people all over the country. And we're working on some other things to grow Short Track America. So meanwhile, Jason is going to be in with us a couple of times a month and Scott's going to be in with us, and some other people are going to come in, and we'll make it a little interesting.
You know what? In 2 weeks, DeSoto's going not. We're not going to be running because we got the parade. I think I might come down and scream with you,
dude. Why don't you come down? And me and you will tag team the racetrack, man.
We'll do that, brother.
All right?
All right, man.
I always like having help down there.
That's going to be nice because I'm tag teaming probably maybe with Charlie.
We'll all be down there, man.
Hell yeah.
I always love doing that double team thing, man, because it makes it a lot more fun.
All right. Another week of Real Racing USA. Want to thank everybody for listening. Don't forget next Tuesday night, it's Pete Orr night right here at the Snook River Grill.
Real quick before we go, I've been dying to do this all night. Tommy Trouble, the death-defying stunts of an American daredevil.
Rock and roll. Time to go. Real Racing USA back on the air next Tuesday night right here at the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton, Florida. I want to thank all our guests tonight. I want to thank all y'all for listening in. We'll see you next Tuesday night right here.
Tuesday.
One more time.